It is Nick Kyprios. Hey, Nick, how you doing this morning?
Good, guys. Good morning.
Yeah, it is a good morning. Maybe not for the Leafs, though. They lose Mitch Marner to injury, and they didn't play all that well last night in a big game that they could have overtaken second spot in the Atlantic. Although, I do have a hard time, really going at them, because it is one of those nights where it's the second half of a back-to-back. Columbus is rested and waiting for you at home, and you're also traveling. So it's a difficult one for the Leafs.
Hard to knock them all season long, really. Even giving up leads early, you never really want to take your eyes off the game. And at 4-2 with about 12 minutes to go, you're thinking, are they out of it, right?
Yeah.
And that is something that we haven't seen in Toronto in a long, long time. So, again, back-to-backs, rock stars on the first game, not so much on the second game. That comes with experience, too. And Babcock talked about this last night in his post. It's just learning how to show up, learning how to be a pro. I know it's a cliche, but they are true words that you have to learn how to play 82 games a year. And on some nights, it just doesn't feel great. And who can show up to start? Who can help not dig a hole early in the game where you're chasing? That's the difference between playoff teams and non-playoff teams.
Yeah, and you look at those first couple of minutes, Nick, and everything's frantic. The puck's going back and forth, and it's a bit run-and-gun type of style. Leafs hit the post. They get a couple of chances. Korpisalo makes a save, and McElhaney can't make a save in their own end. But, I would think a veteran, more experienced team realizes second half of a back-to-back, let's slow the game down and play at a pace that'll help us if our legs are a bit tired and heavy today.
Without a doubt. And we know that they can score goals, and they know that they can score goals. And sometimes you get caught into that, I'm okay with exchanging chances. And to your point, it only gets tighter and tighter as the season goes on. And every coach in every game is thinking defense first. It's not putting the puck in the net first. It's we got to start from our net out and be better and more accountable when it comes to every shift. And the Leafs aren't quite there yet. They're not quite there yet. We saw a lot of goals against the Islanders, and I'm sure they were feeling really good about that. And I think they thought that they could go into Columbus and just pick up where they left off against the Islanders, and it didn't. It got completely shut down.
Yeah, it certainly was, Nick. Good morning. There were a couple positives in this loss. One of them, of course, Josh Levo, and Mike Babcock seems to be really liking him and rewarding him with ice time. We've seen Josh Levo in this organization for a while. What are you seeing that's different in his play, especially this last week, than what you've seen in the past, and why he's being rewarded with extra ice time?
I think just the sense of urgency to understand that over a career, you only get so many kicks at the can. And I watch some guys, and they get opportunities over and over again, and there is no sense of urgency to just find a way to get the job done. And I see that out of Josh Levo. That guy's eaten a few crap sandwiches in the last year, and instead of sulking, instead of whining and complaining, that guy hasn't said boo. And now he gets his opportunity, and he makes the most of it. And then you got some other guys around the league that get a few chances here and there, and they complain, well, I wasn't on the top six lines. I didn't get my power play time, yada, yada, yada. The guy gets 10 minutes. He gets points. He makes plays. He protects the puck. I've seen a ton out of Josh Levo in the short period of time, and I say good on him.
Yeah, definitely. Now, if Mitch Marner is out of the lineup for a little bit of time, which, of course, no Maple Leaf fan wants to hear that, but if he is he the replacement with Tyler Bozak and James Van Riemsdyk on that line on the right side?
Yeah, listen, I like Josh Levo, but Josh Levo can't do what Mitch Marner does. And if he's out for any length of time, it's going to be pretty devastating to the Leafs. He creates so much. And while we know Matthews has got a ton of more goals than Mitch Marner up until this point, I think over the course of the year, you could sit there and say Mitch Marner has consistently created more offense than even Austin Matthews. So for Leaf fans, you got to hope that this thing isn't a serious injury and that he'll be back in the lineup sooner than later.
Nick Kiprios, our guest here on Sportsnet Today, NHL Insider, brought to you by McAlpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora. That first goal Columbus scores last night, Nick, I mean, they go to review to check if it crossed the line. Why aren't they going to review to see if it's goalie interference? It looks like Anderson clearly pushes the pad of McElhaney into the net. And after the game, Babcock is saying, well, we didn't have a good angle to see on the bench. It just goes back to like all of the nonsense with these challenges. If the coaches don't have the angles that they should on the bench, why are they being asked to have these challenges? And B, if you're going to check it anyways, why don't you just check if there's goalie interference? Like, what are we doing here?
Doug McLean, first thing he said in the intermission is, where is the challenge on the goaltender interference? I cannot believe I'm with Doug on this and you guys. I don't get it at all. That should have been, even if you didn't get a great angle, at least somebody should have said something to the coaching staff, whether or not it was somebody upstairs, whether or not it was somebody on the ice, or McElhaney himself should have reacted a little bit more in terms of sending a message to everybody that he clearly thought he was shoved in. I think it could have been a turning point. I think that's one that Babcock missed.
Yeah, I agree with that, Nick. Just moving along here, some NHL news yesterday. Gustav Nyquist suspended for the 6 games. From my vantage point, Nick, very predictable and also kind of disappointing that was only 6 games considering what the actual slash was.
No. 6 is fine.
You think so? I mean, he was an inch away from his eye.
You don't have to worry about Nyquist. That's not the guy that you want to send a message with. That guy will never do it ever again. That was not deliberate. I'm telling you right now, is whatever people see, it was not a deliberate spear. It was just something, I think, that went horribly wrong. Even if you really check where his hands are, they never shift or they never slide. I think he was trying to get his stick around to cross-check him, and he clipped him. So... that's my personal opinion from being in situations like that before. I think he wanted to spin out and square up a cross check, and he ended up clipping him. 6 games is significant, but if you want to really send messages, do it with jerks in the league. Don't do it with Nyquist.
Yeah, I hear that one. As for the Vermette suspension, it looks like it's going to be 10 games, and I have a hard time really moving away from that because, I mean, no, I don't know how you get around it. He meant to, even if it's the softest of touches on the referee, you can't be using
100%.
You can't be using your stick to do anything like that.
That one, I will agree with you. That is as black and white as the ref's jersey. Right? It is zero tolerance. Zero. You don't get to hit policemen. You don't get to hit teachers. Teachers don't get to hit your kid. Zero tolerance.
Nick, Double J gets point number 1900 yesterday. How long does this guy actually go to?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I will say this, and he can play the game, no question about it, but you got to keep willing to give him that opportunity. You got to keep willing to give him that ice time. As great of a story it is and moving and motivating for old men like us, you got to be willing to play him in those situations. And for Florida, I don't know how much longer they can keep giving him that ice time and not eventually giving it to somebody that will be around for another 5 or 10 years. But good on him. It's a great sports story. It's gone beyond hockey with Jágr. It's a great inspirational story for a lot of people. But again, for him to go play now to 50, what team's going to give him that opportunity to play 15 minutes a night and then top minutes when it really should be going to a younger player. That's the only thing I question.
Nick, last one before we let you go. And it was Chris Johnson, I think, who kind of dropped a little bit of a nugget yesterday on the pregame show, basically saying the Leafs quietly moved some of those contracts onto LTIR, opening up a whole whack of cap space. And Chris then kind of suggested that maybe they'll pick up a veteran here on an expiring deal with all this cap space, use it as an asset. Do you see the Leafs doing something like that ahead of the deadline?
Yeah, absolutely. We had mentioned on Hockey Night in Canada Saturday, Brian Boyle. He's got $2 million left on his existing contract. The Leafs want some depth at the fourth line, someone a little bigger that can play harder minutes with Matt Martin, and more importantly, can take faceoffs. Faceoffs are an issue overall with this club. Bozak does a nice job, but they need more depth at center. To me, Boyle would be a no-brainer.